You're listening to WKCO Heaven, Wild Weekend. I'm DJ Easy Eargasm, back from a three-month hiatus with an all-new Wild Weekend. In tonight's edition, we have an interview from the drummer and lead singer of an amazing Chinese band. It's an epic episode, two-parter, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So get ready to learn a lot, get ready to laugh a lot, and get ready to tear just a bit, because this is Wild Weekend, that's what we do. Turned on, tuned in, unlock. Hit it. Listening to DJ Easy Eargasm, Wild Weekend. That was, of course, Teen Generate with my theme song, Wild Weekend. I hope it was sweet ambrosia to your ears. I'm back, but I might be going away soon. It's Hurricane Irene. I'm calling you from the midst of a hurricane cloud. It's 85-mile-per-an-hour winds, rain storming all about, lightning making the sky some weird aqua color. It's a very bizarre time right now. I'm completely jet lagged. I went from China to Israel to back here, which is why I had a three-month hiatus. And as such, I'm a little bit delirious right now, and I don't know if the things that I'm recording are making sense. Right? But I wanted to get this out as soon as possible, because I'm so proud of the show that I recorded over the summer in China, and I think you guys are really going to like it. It's a little bit of a break in format. I know I always say that, but I like experimentation. And real briefly, before I lose all cognitive ability, I will try to explain how it came about. If you remember, a few months back, I tricked most of you into listening to Chinese music by claiming I had a 420 episode. Now, during my trip in China recently, I was lucky enough to see almost all of the bands I played for you guys, which are bands I really love. I saw Hedgehog the night before I left. Hedgehog is, they were incredible. It was such a good show. I got to see the Subs at the Beijing Punk Festival, which I'll get into on a different podcast, because it was just, oh, it was so good. I've never seen so many... Mohawks and Liberty Spikes and GBH t-shirts in China before. Where are they getting these GBH and Addicts t-shirts? Who's making these? There has to be an audience of consumers of about 200. But there they are. And it was great to see the Subs. As you know, one of my favorite Chinese bands. Most importantly, I got to see a band called Pairs, which, if you remember, was a band I played last time, and a really, really fantastic band that I like a lot, and I'm lucky enough to be friends with the drummer and lead singer from the band, Reese. Reese played a show at a bar near Tiananmen Square which of course is famous for its statue of Confucius, at a little bar called Lao Wat, which translates to Old Wat. Great, great little club. And I saw Reese as like my first few days in China. I was a little jet lagged and delirious as I am right now, and I went up to him. Oh, also I was drunk. Jet lag, drunk, what's the difference? I went up to Reese and I said, Reese, you know what I ought to do? I gotta interview you for my podcast. And Reese, who's also a little tipsy, went, oh, that's fantastic, mate. And I said, Reese, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna ask you 100 questions.
He said, all right, mate, that sounds great.
Went home. Well, first I saw the show. I didn't go home directly after that conversation. First I saw Reese play. It was such a great set. And I went home into a drunken stupor. Played some pranks on some taxi drivers and fell asleep. And I didn't think anything else of it until I got an email from Reese a week and a half later asking me if I really wanted to do the interview, which I assumed was just a joke. I thought about it, and I went, well, I've never interviewed anyone before, but I've seen interviews, I've seen Inside the Actor's Studio. I know how they work. One person asks a question, another person answers. Follow-up questions, maybe. I said, yeah. Soon I had a problem on my hands. I realized I had promised to ask 100 fucking questions. Which, I know my listeners aren't great at math, but that's a... it's a boatload of questions. You could put them all in a boat. But I put my nose to the grindstone and to some stimulants. And I wrote out 100 questions, traveled to Shanghai, and I interviewed Reese from Pairs. And this interview is so fantastic. It's so funny. It just, it came out really, really well, and it's really interesting. You're going to learn a lot about Chinese rock and roll if you don't know about it. And you're just going to learn a lot about life, man. You're going to learn a lot about China. You're going to learn a lot about being an expatriate. And yeah, I'm really, really happy with the way this turned out. I hope you are too. I'm not going to spoil it by any more of my babblings. I'm just going to get right to it. Now, because it was 100 questions, as you might imagine, it went on for a pretty long time. So this one is going to be a two-parter. That's right. About 2 hours. Hopefully that'll make up for anything you missed during the summer. I hope you enjoy it, because I certainly enjoyed talking to Reese. Hope you enjoy listening to it. So we're going to start off with a track from Pear's upcoming brand new album called Summer Sweat. That comes out late September, and you can probably get your hands on that from iTunes, or you can check out Pear's website on Douban, which I'll give out again at the end of the interview. So without further ado, this is Christmas from Pear's new album, Summer Sweats, followed by an interview with Reese from Pear's. Enjoy. Keep it tuned in, turned on, unlock. Wild Weekend, DJ, Easy, fucking Eargasm. 2011, Hurricane Irene. You know what I mean? Bye-bye. Okay, this is DJ Easy Eargasm, live from Benny's in Shanghai. We've got a new feature today. It's called 100 Questions, where we ask local celebrities 100 questions.
We better go find a celebrity. I saw Jake Newby driving past.
Don't be ridiculous. We've got Shanghai's very own Reese Pears.
Reese Pears.
We'll get to that question in a second. 100 questions for Reese, and we're going to get started right now. Reese, thanks for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Quite welcome.
I apologize for my voice in advance.
Don't apologize to these miscreants. Okay. Question one. Oh, sorry. And we also have with us Alicia.
Hi.
You wave at the computer.
Hey, audience.
I'm going to give him a cold shoulder.
All right. Yes. Now, Reese, remember not to look at the questions.
I'm not going
to
look at the questions.
Look at the peanuts.
All right.
Peanuts. Okay. Question number one. Were you an accident?
No, actually, I was very planned. I was even planned to be born in the summer so my mum could have birthday parties in the summer. But then I moved to China, and so my birthday's in the winter now. So mum fucked up.
Yeah.
Mum really messed up. I was not an accident.
His birthday's call, in mom. February.
My sister was. My sister was. It was very planned. And then my sister was like, what about me? And she's like, you were a Christmas party accident.
Yeah. They were up front with the sister.
She's a September baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, quick question. This doesn't count as one of the 100 questions.
Okay.
Should follow-up questions count as questions?
Nah, whatever you've got. Okay. You've written down the questions,
great.
That's fine.
Great. All right, question number two. Were you a C-section birth or the vaginal canal?
My mum also blamed me from the stitches from her vagina, too. I'm afraid because I'll send this to her. She blames me for the stitches, so I was out there.
Right.
I wasn't cut open from the gut.
You came.
I tore her.
You tore her up.
Yeah.
You tore it up.
Yeah.
Came out there and up.
It's quite a small head, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
That's why interviews are important.
Were you an astrologer?
What astrological sign are you?
Aquarius.
Okay.
It's good for you.
Hey, about every 10 questions, I'll be like, this is question 10.
Okay.
Just to keep the audience informed. All right.
But this is question 4.
Okay.
But this is question 4, so don't worry about that.
6 more to go.
I'm just informing you my intentions. How did your parents meet? Good story?
It's pretty Australian. My dad hit a cricket ball into a swimming pool, and my mum was in the swimming pool.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That is, he hit a cricket ball, they were playing cricket, the boys were playing cricket, there was a swimming pool near the cricket pitch, and then he hit the ball, it went in the pool, he went over to get it, and then I think it did something like a teenage boy would do, like threw her flip-flops or thongs in the pool, and she's like, that's my man, I'm gonna have a summer baby with him.
So they were high school sweethearts?
Yeah. Like, well, I think at that age, everyone just dropped out at high school, so they were just sweethearts. Yeah. High school dropout sweethearts.
I apologize for the shittiness of my interviewing style. I should mention, Reese is the drummer / singer for the band Pears.
No.
And
I'm the man who ruined my mother's vagina.
He's a.k.a. the man who ruined his mother's vagina. Summer baby. Summer baby. Summer baby. And I played them in the last episode. I'll be playing on this one too. Let's get back to the interview. Question 5, are your parents still together?
No. They're not divorced, but they're not together. They broke up just about the time I moved to China.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. There was a lot of emails back and forth and phone calls, and my sister was like, you know, you left me with this stuff to deal with. And,
yeah.
But no, they're not.
That must have been shocking as soon as you go to China.
No, it was about like August. It happened around August, I remember, and then I left for China in February. So, okay. You know, but it's still a bit messy. Yeah. Yeah. Who was that from?
Dickie.
All right, 3-parter.
Whoa! Brace yourself.
Brace yourself. Why should I just ask 3 questions? All right. Part 1 of question 6. What was your most coveted toy as a child?
Oh, it's an Australian reference. I had like a Humphrey B. Bear.
Okay.
Toy. My mum actually has Humphrey B. Bear. Every family has fine china. She has Humphrey Bear plates that she won't let us use, and it's on like the mantle.
Humphrey Bean Bear.
Bear. Yeah, he's just a bear. He never wore pants.
A combination of a bubble.
He's just
bee
a bear.
Hair.
He's just a bear, and he never talked, and he was just like, and you know, he had human people with him, just like, what's in the box? And he was like. Oh, that doesn't show very well in the interview. Yeah, that's why Humphrey didn't have
for
a radio show.
Reese was shrugging.
Yeah, so it's just a bear. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. How'd it make you feel when it was another's hand, maybe your sister's hand?
Nah, didn't touch it. It was like blade sword, and when she touched it, spikes came out of it. No, she never got it. It's still in a box now.
All right. Let's skip the third part. All right. Question number 7, two-parter. Who was your first, like, good friend? Your first young, you know, that young friend you get?
I think it was a kid called Luke Bacon.
Luke Bacon?
Yeah, I bought him a Yao Ming Houston Rockets shirt.
Really?
Recently.
Are you guys still keep in touch?
I still keep in touch. Not as much as we should or, you know, used to, but life, you know.
What can you do?
Well, yeah, nothing.
That's
and he's
good.
A jerk.
I don't think I keep it.
he's a good friend.
Well, then this will be a great second part to question 7. When did you have your first real fight with Kevin Bacon?
Luke Bacon. this is a bit touchy, actually. This is quite honest. In like year 7, there was a bunch of us and we were quite mean. He was a bit chubby. Was, and now he's a super buff and he works out. But,
of course he is.
But we used to say stuff and then one day he just snapped. And I had to ring his mum and just be like, I'm sorry, put him on the phone. And he's like, I'm not talking to him. And it was rough. And then the next day, I used to ride my bike to his house and then ride to school with him. And like, he just wouldn't talk to me the whole way. And I was just like, I'm sorry.
You guys got over it?
We haven't really talked about it. So I don't know if I can link to this now on our Facebook or whatever. Instagram notes. I remember that.
Well, that was nice of you to call, I think.
Yeah.
All right. When did you pick up an instrument?
When I was 15, 16. Just drums.
Drums?
I got kicked out of drum class, though.
Me too.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I
couldn't do a paradiddle.
Fair enough.
I fucking hated paradiddles. I could do them, but...
He was like, you don't practice enough. And I was like, my kit's at my singer's house or whatever. But I was already in a band, but I couldn't play drums.
And you couldn't play drums, yeah.
And he was like, well, if you're not going to practice... And then I accidentally kicked over the drum kit when I got frustrated. And she's like, get out. But that drummer actually shit his pants when he was recording his band's album for some reason. He was like, 1, 2, 3, just for some reason. Defecated. Really? So there I win go. This round.
That is a Wild Weekend exclusive. Question number 9. No, I'm not supposed to do a 9. I'll do that for the next one. But I'll do it again. Question number 9. Did you have an outgoing spirit in elementary school? Were you a performer? Did you sing the lunch menu?
No, not really. I was that little weedy kid that talked a lot, you know? So I did talk, but when I was around the bullies, I kind of...
Yeah.
Was a bit quieter and a bit more timid. But okay. You know, when I was around the kids, I found that I thought I was, you know, better than or whatever than I was allowed. And like,
were you like a class clown? Like if the teacher says something stupid, you'll.
I think it was that thing where you just have to do it for some teachers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hate that guy. Yeah. And you just avoid him. And then there's another teacher, like, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're super nice to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the word cunt mean in Australia? Is that like a friend or is it an enemy?
GC, I mean, it's more of a New Zealand thing actually. GC means good cunt. So I was like, oh, this
so he's
is,
a good
you know,
cunt.
DJ Eargasm.
Yeah. Good cunt?
He's a GC. Yeah.
Exclusive, DJ Eargasm has GC status.
GC status. And I emailed this like Beijing booker a lot and he was like, hey, I've got this Beijing band coming down, they're a bunch of GCs. They'll look after you. Oh, that guy's a mad, mad cunt or whatever. It's very, very common to use. It's
now,
not
if you don't have
offensive.
The adjective in front of it, or the adverb.
No, he's a cunt. Oh, you can be like, what a cunt, but that's okay. You know, it's just like...
So maybe inflection.
Yeah, it's more inflection
cunt
than tone.
Or, you
it's
cunt.
Intonation, hey. Yeah, it's like, cunt. Yeah.
Great. This is our first Australian on the podcast. Once again, this is Reese from the band Pairs. Reese, I'm going to slip this one in. What's your last name?
Lachlan.
Lachlan. Okay, that one doesn't count. I should have done that in my pre-interview research.
Pre-com.
All right. Now, I'd like to read you a YouTube comment I found by an Australian person. I'd like you to decipher it for me. Thanks for describing to my site, Roddy, love for me. I guess you came because of Here's Boomer TV show. And yeah, I saw your comment on Dutch Daisy's Boomer video. Yes, I learned so much from that dog. Is that an Australian TV show?
I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, that person's insane. Sorry, Ruddy, love for me. Roddy. That's gross.
That's not.
No one wants that kind of love.
We wouldn't have a Roddy. That's not, it's an American. That Roddy's a
really
American name.
Dude, no. He said he was from Australia.
Really?
What's we have Roddy?
Rodney. My uncle Rodney.
But, I don't think we have Roddy.
No. Oh, what about Rowdy Roddy from The Simpsons?
Oh, we do have Rowdy Roddy.
Yes.
Okay. 12. When did you first get high?
Being a man of career.
In Korea?
Career aspirations. Ah. Career aspirations. I can't confirm or deny this.
Okay. Number 13. When was your first love?
Ooh. My first real, like, with a real girl, it would have been a girl called
Jess. First time you're, you know,
yeah, with
not
a
like
girl.
A crush, but like
a... Oh, yeah, it would have been a girl called Jess Fitz. And she was... It's
Fitz?
Really,
that means something
Jess
in Australia.
Fitzgerald. Okay. Yeah, we can't say a whole full name.
Oh, yeah.
Jessie Fitz. Jessie F.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. For next time, let's not use full
She
name.
Was super above my league. Like, she is and was just gorgeous. I don't know. And I was like this kid, yeah. The orange... baseball cap backwards.
You lucked into it.
Baggy shorts, and
you charmed her.
And then for some reason I messed it up. Like I just kept, and we were together for like 2.5 years and then I just really messed it up. Like I just drove her away basically by ridiculing her taste in music and just being a jerk. I don't know what I was thinking.
Maybe you felt inferiority complex?
No, not really. By 2.5 years you get over that, yeah?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah, my mum was very, and still is to this day, pretty disappointed about it. Because now she's a speech
pathologist. Whatever happened to
her? She's a speech pathologist, and she's super smart. She got like, you know, one of the highest scores. Bartender drops cups.
We are in a bar, by the way.
There was, she just really aced her university exams and high school exams. And very smart. But then she'd also be wearing like her underwear inside out and be really ditzy.
Yeah.
You're super, super smart, hey.
She sounds great.
She is. She still is great.
I might be with you.
Yeah, I might track her down. Friendster.
Friendster. 14. Why do I keep saying the questions? Alright, I'm not going to do that from now on. Because the questions are all fucking messed up. There's 6 after this.
Yeah.
Okay. 9/11 in Australia. What'd you guys think?
It's my sister's birthday.
Oh no.
And I remember we had geography class that morning and it happened. And so our geography teacher had already printed, because of the time difference, had already printed reasons why it had happened. Now, like, well, here's the history. Somehow they'd already had the history.
That's
like,
awesome.
Here's the history. And they're like, let's go through it. Let's really see
cool.
why. They didn't just run that plane in there for no reason. You know, because it was about 12 hours out. You know, 12
yeah,
hours
yeah,
difference.
Yeah.
They
oh,
were
right,
able
right.
to do that. But
still, though, that's
but we woke up to like that news. I remember in school. I remember it still is my sister's birthday. She hasn't changed it.
Were you guys shocked, or was it like?
I think it was shocked, but I think you know we had to look up what the Twin Towers were.
Okay.
To a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. Well, just that footage is just disturbing enough. Hey.
Yeah.
I don't think we. We're pretty laid back anyways. People are just like, oh, that happened.
Yeah,
and then,
I mean, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. But I'm sure there wasn't as many tears. We obviously weren't as patriotic as America.
Of course,
we weren't
yeah.
at the embassy, like, crying or whatever.
Yeah.
We got him. All right. We got him. Yeah.
All right. So Reese just brought up 9/11. Let's move on to the next question.
oh, my God.
Question 15. What did you major in college?
I had a Bachelor of Education with a major in music and a minor
nice.
In visual art.
That's great.
Yeah.
It shows.
Yeah, clearly. They don't teach Lily Allen in university, though. Let's learn on the streets of hard knocks.
I know it. Okay. This is an exclusive, by the way. I just want to mention this.
We've been going to my girlfriends and everything.
It has to deal with me. I played with Reese last night in the band The Dudettes. And I played some drums for a Lily Allen song. Let's move on. 16. Describe the best night of your college experience in 17 words or less.
Jesus Christ. I didn't get raped by anyone in the O-Week bus. O-Week is our orientation week, which is... this bunch of farmer guys.
Couldn't have just said orientation week.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of to explain what O week is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, like, I'm afraid you just superseded your word limit.
No. 16 miles. Anyway, yeah. But a bunch of, like, I live in a town 2 hours from Melbourne, so it's a bit of a country town. But there's country towns around that that think my hometown is the big city. So they're like, we're in the big city, and they're just awful, awful guys. And I remember that bus ride into the city was just filthy.
That sounds insane. No. All right, Alicia is leaving.
I'll have to unfortunately listen to this later.
High fives are being fived.
Yeah.
High fives are being fived.
See you.
Would you tell the crew that
you didn't? She's going here. She is here.
Well, I haven't finished mine. All right, this is going to end badly. All right.
All right, they've just brought us more beers than we wanted. All right,
and more
call.
Peanuts. Yeah. See ya.
All right, let's get back to the business. Describe the worst night of your college experience in 40 words or more.
Worst night of my college.
How great is this interview?
You've done so well. You've done so well. All right. My worst night. There was this guy, and we were at a bar, and he just came up to us, and he's like, I'm a crazy guy. And I was like, what? Where did this come from? No, actually, I can change this. All right. So we were at the back of the bar, and there's a beer garden.
And sure, where is this in?
In Bendigo, Australia.
Bendigo,
and there's
Australia.
A bar, and we have the Jaeger train, mm-hmm. which is like 100 shots of Jaegermeister, right. And it's free. At 12 o'clock, they roll up the roller doors, and there's just 12 shots in the bar.
Unbelievable.
And then, like, people just grab them. But in Bendigo, it's such a hip town that, like, at 11 o'clock, people are banging on the roller doors, and they're counting down, like, 10, 9, 8. And then when it gets to 1, nothing happens, because it's still only, like, 11:05, and they're like, oh, they're banging. And I went around the side, and I saw the bartenders, like, shaking as they're pouring the, you know, Jaeger into the cups. They're just, like, terrified of what's going to happen. So, you know, 11:30, it's like, 10, 9, still nothing happens. 12 o'clock, the doors kind of roll up, and there's people just ridiculous. Dive on these shot glasses. People are carrying like 5 in each hand. All of them are dropped. Everyone's dropped. Like, people turn around too fast, smashing into people's heads.
Oh my God.
People are trying to carry too many, they drop them. There's one like timid guy who quietly gets the one on the head, picks it up. He's very happy that he got one. He sips it. He's very happy.
That's great.
And it was just, it summed up my life in Bendigo, just counting down at 11 o'clock for right. something that opens
in
at 12.
Bendigo, Australia.
Bendigo, Australia. Yeah. Awesome.
So Bendigo seems like kind of rough, but sort of like a prankstery kind of rough.
Yeah. A lot of idiots, yeah. And I was king of the idiots.
King idiot. This is a Wild Weekend exclusive. Number 18, feel free not to answer this. Ever have a bad trip?
Yes.
Okay. Number 19, what bands were you into in college? And did it have a dramatic shift from high school? Or
Yes, it did. Right. High school, I was a new metal kid. I was very much into...
So that's true. I thought this was just a put-on.
No.
You were into new metal.
I was super... I mean, my first international concert was Slipknot. And I still really like Slipknot. I went off them for a few years, and like, I'm back now. I really appreciate it.
I think they're talented.
They're super talented. I got their DVDs just recently, and I've been watching them a lot.
The masks are cool.
The masks are cool.
I'll admit it. The masks
yeah.
are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, and the first time I saw them, the clown was masturbating, and it was all going on. I was into, like, Korn and just all the high school stuff. And then I joined a band that was more a bit, like, noisy. So mm-hmm. then I started getting into, like, the Mogwais and Godspeed You Black Emperor.
So you started doing post-rock.
No, yeah, we got through the post-rock. And then, you know, hardcore was sort of under mm-hmm. that. In university, it was like, college. It was...
Well, yeah, so university is college,
University
right?
is okay. college. It was kind of post-rock. And then I got more into the classic kind of stuff, you know. Then you get into the Bob Dylans and all that
kind of stuff.
You know?
Cool.
So that's what it was.
Started off with the new metal.
But I still have a great new metal knowledge.
Yeah.
And it comes out a lot in conversation.
It really does. I thought maybe you like researched it, but it
no,
was like
I know
something
a lot. I know right. a lot about Slipknot.
That's great. I like that better. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, 20, I think we already did this. The drum started when you were 15. We're gonna skip that. We'll count one of the follow-ups for 20.
Alright.
21, when did you first go to China? What did you think when you saw those weird blue tarps from the airplane? You know the blood tarps I'm talking about?
No. Oh, man, when I first came to China in, like, 3 years ago, I can't remember what date that was. I'm not very good at math. And,
Well, we don't need to worry about that.
I flew from Melbourne to Hong Kong, from Hong Kong to Tianjin. Mm-hmm. Tianjin's not a capital. That's, it's a kind of an...
Oh, we're going to get to Tianjin a couple questions later.
Anyway, so the airport was just surrounded by dirt, miles and miles of dirt, and brown, brown air. And I was like, I don't know, what have I got? Like, I didn't research the city at all. I didn't check where
so
it was.
So Tianjin was the first place you went?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what I've done. I don't know what I've got myself into. I'm dead. Like, I really don't. They didn't even have blue tarps. It was the world's smallest airport. We city of 20 million people, or 10 million people. It was so small.
Yeah, I don't think I flew into Tianjin. Man, I think I flew into Beijing.
It's rough. Yeah, yeah.
I took
a
train up there. Damn. I think we're getting Tianjin right now. But first, let's get to this. Question number 22, by the way. This is Wild Weekend DJ Easy Orgasm here with Reese from Pears. 22, what was the thing you missed most about Australia your first time in China, maybe your first week?
I missed...
The food?
I didn't miss anything. First week, you're just like, this is life now.
That's
wow.
True. They say there's a process where you fall in love with it.
I went to some bars and I met like some foreigners. And foreigners, for those of you who don't know, outside of their own country, they're generally douches. They're generally dicks. I missed the Australian way of conversation because I was so used to it. I never thought of myself as very Australian, but then talking to like Americans or Europeans, I didn't realize how much I swore and called them cunts.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, I find for the most part, when you meet Americans overseas, it's very much a who's dick's bigger competition. Yeah. Where you from?
Yes.
How long you been here? You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
How much money? You know, it's like, Australians, you go through about 45 minutes of just bullshit, like just jokes, like, wow, you know, check out that, blah, blah. And then you go, oh, so what's your name? Yeah, and until someone else enters like the circle and you're like, oh, this is Dave. It's like, and you are. So, I really miss that way of conversation.
Sort of the Australian way of conversing.
Yeah, I did miss that. I still miss it to a degree, because some people are just super hard to talk to.
Yeah.
But generally Australians, you know, I'm just saying my kind of friends there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to more about foreigners in China later in the questionnaire. Mm. That was great, thank you. 23, what can you tell the listeners about Gobuli Baozi's?
I've never had it. It's too expensive. Yeah, I can tell them I've never had it. It's, Gobuli Baozi is like, it's just this famous dumpling kind of thing. But it was always more expensive than just regular dumplings.
Yeah, and it's not as good, I can tell you, because I've had it.
Yeah, all the locals like, it's not that good.
It's not that good.
So, yeah, that's what I can tell you.
It was pricey, not that good. Yeah. All right. Describe the Tianjin nightlife.
Tianjin nightlife was the best thing ever. But I didn't go to those foreign bars. We went to like this bar called Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best. We went to a bar called Top Club, and they thought, it was during the Olympics, and they thought I was an Olympian. And so they gave me my own bouncers. So I was on the dance floor with two bouncers next to me, and girls went crazy. And they were running up and kissing me. Some guy tried to fight me.
Did the bouncers dance?
No, they just stood there.
So they stood and flanked you while you danced?
Yeah. And man, if you want a girl, hire two guys to stand next to you in black, and just wear their arms crossed, and girls go nuts.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and
that's unbelievable.
There was a bar where you could get like tattoos on the stage. Uh-huh. I had to leave before you get really drunk and think it's a funny idea.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous. Okay, now we're going to break up some of these personal ones with would you rathers. You know how would you rather works?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a hypothetical, and you pick which one you would choose.
Okay.
We are having some beers here, so excuse my phrasing.
And we had some beers last night.
We had quite a few beers last night. All right. Would you rather listen to Limp Bizkit every time you cry, or cry involuntarily and loudly every time Limp Bizkit comes on? And remember, other people can know about this, so they can put on Limp Bizkit to make you cry and make it seem like you really love Limp Bizkit.
I would cry to Limp Bizkit. Because really, when people are putting on Limp Bizkit, they also have to sit through it.
Yeah.
I'd like to side note this, and everyone should look up Fred Durst's interview on Tom Green's show.
Okay.
It's the best thing you'll ever see. But,
not as great as this interview, but look it up afterwards.
Yeah, it's secondary to this.
Okay, would you rather have a dick where your tongue should be once a week, or say the N-word whenever you mean to say thank you?
Dick where my tongue should be...
Once a week.
I was talking about this the other day, and then I was... Oh, yesterday, Friday. And I was saying, sorry, this is going to go long, that
take
your
Because
we were talking about if we didn't have money for a taxi, we'd just give the taxi driver a hand job or a blow job. And I was like, I would rather suck a taxi driver's dick than to kiss him. Because I just imagine the mouth is like the bumpy tongue and they smell like cigarettes and tea or coffee.
Dick smells like?
No, but I think I could do the dick easier. I think I could do the dick easier than the tongue in my mouth. So I'm going to go the first one.
All right. You will have a dick in your mouth
once a week.
Instead of saying the N-word, whenever you mean to say
the N-word.
I'm American. Okay. 27. This is a reference to the movie Junior. Would you rather become pregnant like Arnold Schwarzenegger or have Arnold Schwarzenegger's character as your mother?
Jeez. The last one for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Would you rather... Alright, this one's a little weird. Would you rather be able to fly, but you have a bird wife? You're married to a bird. Or be able to run as fast as a rabbit, but you have the dick that's the size of a rabbit's.
Dick the size of a rabbit, for sure. Wait, I don't know why I focused on that part of the question. I want a dick. That'd be an improvement.
You totally skip the running.
I think if I could run fast, I would get a girl. She
wouldn't care.
Yeah, she wouldn't care. She'd love me for me. She likes me for me.
That's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah, see?
Really fast motion.
Yeah, and I've got a girl now, and I don't run very fast.
29. Would you rather eat a panda or own a child slave?
Do I have to eat the whole panda?
You have to eat the whole panda, including the eyeballs.
It's a child slave. That child slave can eat the panda for me.
Alright, let's get back to the real questions here. Let's get to the band.
Right.
How did Pears come about? We gotta ask some standard ones.
F and I met. I was at the X Games watching some rollerbladers go up and down, and I was wearing a T-shirt, and she was like, "I like that band, you know that T-shirt." And
what T-shirt was it?
It was a Caustic Cars T-shirt. She was like, "I really like that band," and then we started talking and just hung out for the day, and. When Chinese girls approach you in China, you're generally very wary. They're either trying to steal your money, or
there's something.
But she was actually really good, and I was originally going to play guitar and just write these little twee songs. I need the girl singer.
Yeah.
And I wanted someone who'd never been in a band before. F had never been in a band. We went to practice. I played with a few different people. It was bad. I invited her to come sing. She's like, okay. And then she picked up the guitar and we just wrote a song.
Awesome.
And she couldn't play very well then, but she could play really fast.
Uh-huh.
So we just kept it at that.
Yeah.
So we can write the simplest songs in the world and work around that.
That's great. Yeah. And now Pears, of course, is one of the biggest bands in China now in the world. How dare I restrict it geographically. all right, you already answered this, so I'm going to skip it. We'll count one of the questions as number 32.
Okay.
One of my follow-up questions. 33. What are the main differences here between the music scene in China and Australia?
There's quite a lot. Australia's more like drudgy, kind of like, you know, more beer, slower bass kind of lines.
Is it kind of like a man's game where everybody comes out?
No, everyone comes out. And Melbourne's got a great music scene. The difference is China supplies drum kits and amps at all their venues.
Uh-huh.
They supply mixing guys. Yeah. The bookers, you don't need to do much promotion.
Yeah.
Like, you have a show on Friday, you tell people on a Wednesday, and you'll still get a crowd. So it's not very organized. However, on the other side, it's not very organized, you know?
Yeah.
And you can go to a town, and there'll be no one there, and you're like, to the promoter, did you tell anyone? It's like, oh, no, I forgot.
Yeah.
so they're not super organized. And you get a lot of mixed bands in a lineup, which is okay, you know, but usually like we get supported by, or we play with these Lady Gaga acoustic guys who is friends with the bar.
This is right now.
And just, it's just a weird time.
There's a mix.
I've got a huge beef with Chinese bookers. I think the Chinese music scene's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing, and they've got good venues, good crowd. I think the main thing that's bumming people out is the bookers. They're shit. They're really unorganized.
That's what is, yeah.
Yeah, they're stupid.
I've heard that before. Alright. Question number 34. Do you think you are a good band?
Very good question, man. We've never been asked this. I have times when I think we're a very good band, and then I have times when I think we're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's moments in our sets that, like last night we played a set and at the start was very, very sloppy. I wasn't into it at the start. Mm-hmm. And then we got much better towards the end. Yeah,
absolutely.
It takes some time. But I think we're doing something interesting because by having a person who can't really play guitar, I mean, that's not putting her down. That's just the fact.
Yeah.
All the songs are just like...
Well, the drums are a huge driving force of the music. More so than the guitar.
For sure. And so every song was just teaching her a different chord. Like, this song's an E. This song's an A chord. Just move that up and down the fret.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for those, like, session guys who can play whatever they want. Because they generally don't write good songs.
Right.
Because they can do whatever they want.
Well, it's a commonly, not to jump on you, it's like a described thing where you have, like, a limit. You can sort of...
You can do more with that.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, hey, here's this little thing.
Yeah.
How far can you get with that? And we're pushing that really far.
Yeah.
Stuff. So I think that's good. I think our attitude is generally pretty good. We don't take ourselves...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't take ourselves super seriously, but we're organized and we arrive early and we do all that kind of nice shit. But we're not... We don't hang around backstage like dog rats the whole fucking set, you know,
be
cool. And we're not afraid to like help and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I do think we're easy band. Yeah. And I like it. I really like it. Actually, I'm very, very, very proud of it. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Who is the best drummer ever? In your opinion?
Ever. Ooh. Ever. Ooh. Good one. There's a few Melbourne drummers I really like because I saw them like change their style.
I know me and my listeners would like to.
There's a drummer in the band called My Disco.
Okay.
Awesome, just ridiculous, but like not flashy like Danny Carey kind of flashy wankery or Dream Theater, you know, masturbation kind of thing. It's just like he's just really clever beats, and I don't know how he doesn't. I was watching him do it. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah.
There's a girl called Evelyn. She plays in every band in Melbourne. And she's this hardcore drummer and just amazing, amazing.
Awesome.
She plays in a band called True Radical Miracle and Baseball and Pikelet and awesome.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Great. Are you depressed right now?
No. I was thinking on the way here. Yesterday we played, as you know, we were at like this festival that worked for 12 hours.
That's right.
And it was hot.
Just briefly, there was a festival last night. It was a 12-hour festival for the Dudettes, which is a band in Shanghai. It was their last show. And Reese is one of the penultimate bands to play. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, I found the people, they were drinking early, and then it was hot, and they got cranky, and then there was a lot of tears and some fights, and it was just like, people weren't able to deal with their own shit very well, And I was like, I don't ever feel like that, really. I just...
Yeah.
Kind of, and even at work, like people are up and down and stuff, and I just kind of plateau through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like some chemical balance, or I just don't care enough, or
Way, who cares? What
yeah, you know, and I really am getting bummed out about it because every time I go out for dinner with like a group of people, there's always some sort of weird fight. And it's like, as you got older, you'd be able to deal with your shit more.
Now, does that happen more here, or did that happen in Australia?
I think it happens more here, but it also happens in Australia. You know, it just happens with people, and it's like, as you get older, you don't lose that kind of like immaturity. You just become more stubborn. Hey,
yes.
It's like, this is my issue now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an adult, and I'm not afraid to vent. And it's just like, Why don't we just shoot the shit?
Yeah, I think I was so drunk last night I missed all of that.
I like your style, man. I like you just friendly. And also, another bummer is these people who have wives and girlfriends and they come to the shows and they basically flirt with every other girl, like try and touch them, send them creepy messages and stuff.
Yeah, I think that there's a question I want to get to later.
Yeah.
I'm going to address that. All right. So, actually, I'm going to skip the next question. I'm going to go to the other question because I'm going to add a question.
Okay.
All right, 38. Are you tired of questions?
No, I could talk forever.
Great.
Forever.
All right. How many songs does Pairs have?
21, 22, 20... Yeah, around that. But they're all like 50 seconds or like... They're all the same riff, you know, so it doesn't matter. It's not that impressive.
What's the strangest thing you've ever seen while performing?
Oh, good one. Strangest thing. I can't think of anything that was super, super strange. At the time, you know, you probably talked about the whole train ride home, but now I can't remember. I'll go to the most recent thing. Friday night, not whilst playing, actually.
That's fine, we'll take it.
There was this albino guy. And he was playing in the band before us. And then these Chinese girls were like, oh, we really like you, to this guy. We want to take a photo of you. So they went to take a photo of him. And like, your legs look really weird. Your legs look too white. So they got me to crouch down in front of his legs and hide his legs from shots so they could get a body shot of him. So but I'm not even looking at the camera. Like, it's just my ass kind of looking at the camera. And just because that Chinese girl was like, your legs are weird. I will not take a photo of these legs. And I was like, why don't you rip the camera up? She's like, no. Must be the whole body. No,
can't do that.
Dude, I like his shoes or something. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
There you go. What's the most you've been heckled? Now, Alicia was just here and told me she's done some serious heckling.
Nothing on... Alicia's got nothing. We're in Zhuhai, and there was this drunk Chinese guy who's...
Zhuhai is near Hong Kong.
Yeah. There was this drunk Chinese guy, and being heckled is fine, because usually I can deal with it.
Yeah.
Usually, we can talk around or whatever. But when you get heckled in Chinglish, it's so hard to deal with. We had this guy, he's just like, give me a break. And I was buying a beer. Like, we hadn't even played yet. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And the whole stage was like, give me a break. You are the stage. I am not the stage. You are shit. I want shit. You are rock and roll. I want rock and roll. Give me a break. And I was like, I don't know how to deal with this.
It's like a poem.
Yeah. I was like, what do you want to happen, man? What do you want? I was like, this can only go, like, we fight. Or you shut up. Like, we can't keep plateauing the whole set. Like, I bit. And after the set, he came up and he was like on the stage and started yelling at me and just screaming at us. And then the bartender yelled at him and he stood on the stage with his head down and took it. And she's like, you're not welcome here. Who do you think you are? And then he started crying.
Oh my
God. Stood on the bass. He was the band after us. He was the singer for the band after us. And then he just was on, he sat on the bass and wouldn't sing the first two songs. Then he sang the next two songs, and my girlfriend and F and three other girls were just heckling him, just yelling at him, and they're like, we're sorry about our singer. His girlfriend broke up with him, and they were like, we wonder why, he's a dick. And I was like, guys, he has like seven muscly friends. All I have is you, like five girls or four girls. I'm gonna get the shit kicked out of me here. And they're like, boo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was my heckling experience.
That's some intense heckling. Pairs with Birthday from their original EP, and before that, part one of my interview with Reese. And if you thought that was juicy and interesting, which I certainly did, part two is gonna knock your fucking socks off and your block off. It's gonna knock all that stuff off. So keep it tuned in for part two. We'll get back to Reese, hear what he's got to say about more stuff involving his weird sex habits. All right, DJ Easy Eargasm, signing off for part one. See you in a second on part two, here on Wild Weekend. DJ Easy Eargasm, thank you for listening, and thanks from Reese. And thanks to Reese. Ah, Christ.